We want to pray this morning. Then Sister Debbie's going to come and sing for us. But let's just go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your goodness and mercies to us. And Father, for a place to go in time of need. We just can come to the throne room of grace and find that mercy and grace that we all need and to help us through these times. And Father, we ask this morning as we have heard the needs and the names called out, each and every one, we just pray that you minister according to the need this morning. You know hearts, you know lives, and we ask you to touch and offer that's so needed this morning. Help us as a church family. Father, there's many needs. We're not many in number, but Father, we're needy this morning. We just need you to come and to minister to each and every situation, each and every home, each and every family. And Father, help us in this service, in this time. Visit us with your Spirit. And Father, just have your way and your hand upon us as we go through this day. Keep each and every one, we pray. And we thank you for your blessings, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. And ask you now just to watch over us and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Text verse, our main thought this morning, is coming from the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. But, I mean, we've got a couple of verses we've got to read before we get there. And we're going to read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 24, verse number 7, and then also we'll read 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17. But let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your goodness. I ask you to help us now, Father, to be an able minister of the Word of God. Speak to our hearts. I pray that as we preach that, Father, your Spirit just work among us and in us and help us to be an able minister of the Word of God and to open up our hearts and our ears to hear and receive the things that you would have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Jeremiah 24 and verse 7 says, "And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart." Jeremiah and also Ezekiel both urged and spoke of a spiritual religion. It is definitely a heart religion that God wants. A heart religion that God wants. But the heart of man is beyond repair. And so a new one's going to have to be provided. A new heart. Formalisms must be left behind. And the spiritual emphasis with a new heart will put us in touch with God. And that will transform our lives. A new heart will transform our life. It'll transform our thinking. It'll transform our worship, our conduct, and our loyalty. And so this is what Jeremiah says here and what God says, "For they shall return unto me with their whole heart." And then we read in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 in the New Testament, it tells us, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." All things new means a new heart. This is what Jeremiah said. This is what Ezekiel spoke of and what God said of the people that he was going to be their God. "I will give them an heart to know me." All things, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, all things are become new. And so this is our main subject this morning, and that is your new heart, or the heart of a new life. The heart of a new life. I've known a couple of people that physically have had a heart transplant. And the waiting and the procedure and going through all of that, but it changed their life. They were able to live. And we recognize and we know that every time that a new life enters into this world, amen, every time a little baby is born into this world, guess what comes with it? A brand new heart. A new heart. And amen, there is no life apart from a new heart. And for the Christian, there is no spiritual life apart from a new heart. And Colossians tells us in Colossians chapter 3, and where we really want to take our point from this morning, Colossians 3 and verse number 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. For a few minutes this morning, I want us to look at the heart of the new life. And there's three things here in these verses that I want to point to and just direct us to. And the first one is, the first point found in verse 15 is a heart that is ruled by the peace of God. A heart that is ruled by the peace of God. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You see, now, it is to be confident and assured in the love and the care of God. He said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We are God's children. And we are to know that because we are God's children, that we are in His care, that He cares for us. And to know that God will strengthen us, that God will encourage us, that God will guide us, that God will sustain us, that God will deliver us. He'll save, provide, and give life both now and forever. Amen. To His children. God will. And so, as our lives are meshed with Christ, we can know the peace of God. It's why that Paul and Silas could sing at midnight. The peace of God. There was a lot of things that was taken from them. Amen. Their freedom. Amen. Even their well-being was taken. But their peace of God was not taken from them. They still had that peace of God. It's why when God sent an angel to get Peter out of the prison house while he was awaiting execution, that he had to bump him and wake him up because he was sleeping good because of the peace of God. Amen. He had peace with God, and amen, he had the peace of God. And so it says here that we need to have a heart that is ruled by the peace of God. Now, the word in this particular passage, rule, means to act as an umpire. To act as an umpire. Peace is to be the umpire, the deciding factor in all of our lives. He goes on to talk about us being into one body. You see, the church is one body. And peace is to be the rule in the body of Christ. We are to have peace and we're to live in peace. Amen. How good and how pleasant it is for a brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. Our lives should make for peace. And so he encourages that. He says that because we are one body. And so peace should be the umpire. Now, if any of you ever have, you know, seen umpires in different sports, call them different things, but in baseball, amen, we know they call umpires. And you don't see it quite as much as you used to because they got, what is it, ABS? Is that what they call it? Their systems where you can challenge balls and strikes and different things, and you can have replay. But long before they had replay, amen, and I'm a Braves fan, and so I've watched a lot of Braves baseball through the years. And they used to have a manager several years ago that led them through the glory days, Bobby Cox. And guess what? He holds a record for the most ejections by one manager in Major League history. Why? Because he did not always agree with the umpire. If you step on even further back, I remember as a boy there was one named Earl Weaver, because, and I say this because one day when the umpire was out there, he kicked a little bit of dirt on the umpire's feet, you know, and of course the umpire threw him out of the game, ejected him. But they didn't see eye to eye with the umpire. One time, the umpire told the manager, he said, "Get out of my sight. Get somewhere where I can't see you." So the manager went and stood on home plate. But see, we laugh and we talk about those things, but what this verse is telling us to do is let the peace of God rule. Let it be the umpire. You're one body. You're Christ. You're supposed to be at peace and supposed to live peaceably in the church and let peace rule. But sometimes, God help us, we don't agree with the umpire. Why? Because we want our way. We want our way, and therefore, amen, we kick our own little dirt. We pitch our own little fits of different things. Some folks is, what's that word? Some cantankerous? You know, all of us maybe get that way sometimes. But he says here in this particular passage, it's the peace of God is to be the rule, is to be the umpire. We're one body, and peace is to be the rule. If we listen to the Word of God, it tells us in Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." He trusteth in thee. Keep him in perfect peace. Now then, this is not to say that, well, we're just to be peaceful and keep peace at all costs when others are coming in and trampling on the truth of God and trying to distort the truth. No, we're not supposed to just be peaceful and just let anything go. But God help us to have the peace of God and at all possible to live peaceably with all men. And especially in the church. Amen. The church is called to live in peace. He says also in Isaiah 48:18, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." Now here's the thing. I ask this question, what have Christians forfeited because they didn't hear the Word of God and let peace rule? You see, he said in Isaiah 48:18, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments." Oh, I wish you'd obey God. You'd listen to God. You'd hearken to the commandments of God. He said, "Then had thy peace been as a river." I think about David in Psalm chapter 51, and I listen to what David says in that prayer. And one thing that we can recognize that when David spoke in that prayer, peace like a river was not what he had been experienced for the past several months. Why? Why had peace forsaken him? Why had it left him? It's because he did not hearken to the Word of God. He forsook the Word of God to his own pleasure, to his own desires, and it cost him. He paid. The peace departed. And amen, Isaiah said there in 48:18, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandment, then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." You see, along with our new heart, we are to let the peace of God rule. It's supposed to have precedence in our life. Amen. If we have peace with God, then amen, we should be ready and willing to walk in that peace. And to, amen, to love the brethren. Amen. That's the one way that folks recognize that in the church, by the love that we have one for another, by the unity that we have, because the rule of our heart is the peace of God. The peace of God. But he also tells us in verse 15 spoke of a heart ruled by the peace of God. Verse number 16 speaks of a heart that is rich with the Word of God. Rich with the Word of God. "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Now this is the only place in Scripture where we find that phrase, Word of Christ. Word of Christ. But Colossians emphasis is on Christ. Therefore, the term here is used as a synonym for the Word of God. The Word of Christ, the Word of God, the same thing. And there's 3 points right here on this fact. He said, let it dwell. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. He says, let it dwell. Make the Word of God a home. The Word of God should have a home in our lives. I mean, we as Christians should be ever mindful of the Word of God. We should be taking it in constantly. All of the time. We should be taking in the Word of God. Giving it a place in our hearts. Storing it away. Amen. I've seen folks and know folks that, I mean, they can quote great amount of Scripture. As y'all heard a while ago, my wife said, I don't know where I'm coming or going most of the time. So my memory is not as good as that, but amen. But I can still read it a lot. I can still put it in there. And amen. I may not can memorize it like some folks can, but still we need to absorb, make the Word of God a place in our hearts to have a home. Deuteronomy puts it this way in Deuteronomy 11:18. Therefore, shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. To be our guide, the Word of God. We've made it, it's got a home in us. It abides with us, and we keep and follow the Word of God. The reason. Be here, the reason that we give it a home is he says, teach it, admonish it. Amen. How can we teach the Word of God if we don't know the Word of God? Amen. If we don't know it, amen, then we certainly cannot teach it. And we say, well, I'm not a teacher. If we have the Word of God, amen, we can teach it in some form or some fashion. You see, if you throw me into a class and, you know, if somebody just walked me in here and I didn't know why and they stood me before y'all and they said, all right, Chris fixing to teach y'all how to fix this car engine. We'd be in trouble. We'd be in trouble. But see, there's some things that we have learned and we know how to do. If they come in and told group of young girls and they brought mommy and they said, this lady here is going to teach y'all something about cooking. And she could do that now then. I can ask her, I say, mom, what you got? What you put in there? What's the recipe for that? Well, I put a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know. But listen, there's some different things. Sewing, different things. Daddy still gets calls every once in a while, somebody asking him some advice and opinion about the law. Because, amen, he's been there, he's dealt with those kind of things. Things sometimes that we just don't think too much about, but we've got experience, we've got some knowledge, we've learned some things, and so we can teach it. And therefore, amen, we make the Word of God a home in our hearts because there's going to be some folks, some young people, some children, some grandchildren, some friends, some that don't know anything about the Word of God that's going to just need a little bit of direction. And while we say, well, why I can't teach the deep things of the Word of God. Amen. God may not call you to teach the deep things. He just wants you to know it and let it be home in your heart so you can direct some folks and just pull them in the right direction to teach and to admonish because we've got the Word of God in our hearts. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. Listen to what it says here. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I mean, that's important. And God, help us. Something in the church that's probably over the years been much neglected. The teaching of the Word of God. Having it in our heart and teaching it diligently to the children. When we're in the house, when we're walking about, when we lie down, when we rise up, to teach them and tell them about Jesus. About the Word of God. And so the reason for the Word of God to dwell richly is because, amen, we teach it. And he goes on and he says there in verse 16, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. With grace. Let the grace of God. How deeply is the Word of Christ or the Word of God dwelling in us as we walk through our days? Because see, here it says, as we go through the days, what are we to be doing? It tells us that we're to be talking, singing, meditating on the Word of God. Amen. Talking about Jesus, the good things that God has done. And every one of you's probably at some point had somebody to, you know, to come by. I remember, you know, days at the workplace and maybe things you kind of down and out, and somebody just comes by and they just begin to tell you something. And I mean, they was just telling you because it was something that had happened to them, but it was a testimony and uplifting to you because it was something that God had done for them. And they was just talking about the Word of God. We talk about a lot of things. There's a lot of things in this world we can talk about that's troubling. Watch the goings on. There's plenty of bad news. But I'm going to tell you what, there's some good news in the world too. And that is Jesus. Amen. Because God and what He's done and what He's promised and what He's going to do. And He said that we're to take this and with the grace of God to be able to talk about the Word of God. May give it home in our hearts and in our lives. And amen. Talk about that grace of God. Sing about it to others. Maybe others don't want us singing about it. Amen. My youngins didn't want me singing about it too much. But amen. But still. Amen. If we can't sing to anybody else, we can sing it to ourselves. Amen. If we're riding down the road, if we're on the lawnmower, I saw a video the other day, the fellow, he's cutting grass, and he said, what I hear when I'm cutting grass, and buddy, he was singing to the top of his lungs. It sounded like he was concert material. And then it said, he said, what the neighbors hear. And it wasn't so pretty. Amen. But see, God help us, because I've told y'all before and said that I believe, amen, between here and heaven, there's a filter. And amen, when we sing unto the Lord, it don't matter what it sounds like to the neighbor. It sounds good to God when it's coming from a heart that's full of the Word of God and the love of God. And we sing by the grace of God. It sounds good, amen, in heaven. So we have a heart that is ruled by the Word of God. We have a heart that is rich with the Word of God. And thirdly, here in verse 17, it says, a heart that does all for the glory of God. Verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, how do we accomplish this? Living our lives and doing all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We speak and we act. So the question is, do we speak and act for us or for Jesus? Are we saying what we want to say? Or are we saying what we know God would have us to say? And the truth is, we all live and deal with this old flesh, and sometimes as soon as we say something, we recognize I shouldn't have said that. But we say it because it's what the old flesh wanted said, and in the moment it just comes out. We like that fella I heard, he said, You know what? He said, here's the truth of the matter. He's talking about, you know, not agreeing with everything everybody said. He said, I talk so much. He said, sometimes, he said, once I say something, I don't agree with myself. And God, help us. Sometimes the old flesh says more than it should, and we bring dishonor to the name of Christ. But to live our lives in Jesus' name, it is a surrendered approach. Surrendering our life to Christ. Surrendering my will to His. Surrendering what I would desire for what I know God would have me to do. The children of light should walk in the light. We should live and talk to honor Christ in all of our affairs. Not just on Sunday, but amen, Monday morning when we're on the job, amen, Monday through Friday, Saturday, wherever we are, amen, we should live to honor Christ. The gospel tells us in John chapter 20 and verse 31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. You see, there's only one reason this morning that we've got hope of heaven. Jesus. There's only one reason that, I mean, we were saved from whatever God, where we were at, and God saved us and redeemed us and brought us to this point, and here we are this morning, is because of the grace of God. Amen. Amen. He has done this for us. He's given us life. He's given us hope. Therefore, amen, how should I live my life? And should I live it for somebody else? Should I live it for myself? No, I should live it for Christ, the one that has redeemed me, that has bought me and brought me to this point, saved me by the grace of God. I should live and do everything for His honor and for His glory. The new heart of the believer should always show itself true to Christ and God. Always. We live life abundant because of what Jesus has done for us. He's given us abundant, abundant life. And that should ever be before our minds as we live out in this world. And God help us, because, you know, here's the reality for us. It's hard for us when we do things in this world because of our old flesh. It's hard for our motives to be 100% every time. It can be mostly, but that old flesh always wants to point things its direction. But see, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31 through 33, it says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Paul said, my desire is... Paul said, I ain't got to have my way. Hey man, I just need to honor God. If it don't always go the way I think it needs to go, that's all right. I just need to honor God. Whatever I do, I need to honor Him. I'm not trying to offend, amen, the Jews or the Gentiles, and certainly not the church of God. I'm just trying to honor God and be what God wants my life to be, because He's given me a brand new heart, and I'm by the grace of God trying to do everything that I can that some might be saved. As you stand with us this morning as our sister plays, I want to close with this. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. God's given us, if we're His children, if we've been born again, we've got a new heart. And our heart needs to be ruled by the peace of God. It needs to be rich in the Word of God. And it needs to be a heart that lives for the glory of God. Whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, if you have a prayer need this morning, while we wait just a minute, as our sister plays, if you have a need, you come.